This is First Baptist Church for Sunday, January 21st, 2024.
Now, I need you to help me, by the way. We record these. I like to move around, and it affects the recording. So if I start to go that way, you know, if you watched the football game last night when the 49ers were going after the Packers quarterback, he moved this way and threw across field, which is a no-no, and it was intercepted. If I go that way, it's now a no-no because it will offset the recording. If I go this way, it's a no-no because it will offset the recording. So I need you to give me a signal to get back into proper place, all right? For the sake of the recording, we just mounted or uploaded Chris and Dennis, their work over the fall. We just got it up onto the website, so they are there to be listened to afresh. Praise God. From Proverbs chapter 10, verse 11. The mouth of a righteous man is a well of life. Worthy of reiteration. The mouth of a righteous man is a well of life. Brother Jim, could I ask you to pray for this word? I'd be obliged. If you're not up to it, brother, forgive me. I don't mean to impose upon you. It's your call. Okay. That's fair enough. I understand. Forgive me for even putting you on the spot. Chris, would you pray, please?
Heavenly Father, we pray that you open our minds and our hearts that we may receive from your vessel what thus saith the Lord. We thank you, Lord, that you know we all stand here with an expectation for you to be glorified through this message here today. In Jesus' name, we pray.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, brother. And Chris, Jim, please forgive me. I'm sorry. You know, I read this through my recovery. I was working through Proverbs. I love this little copy that the Bible Society provides. And so I would be reading through Proverbs back in the month of November. And when I came across this verse, it just jumped off the page. Almost comparable, almost, to when I was reading 48 and a half years ago, Matthew 11, 28 to 30. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart. And you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. There are certain verses or texts that jump off the page and penetrate the heart. This, for me, is the most recent addition. A kind of scripture list. The mouth of a righteous man is a well of life. It jumps off the page for me because I'm a mouth. I'm always talking. I engage in stream of conscious talking. Shannon and Amber in the house will say to me sweetly and affectionately, "Who are you talking to now, Bradley?" I'm out and about, and Amber, you will still say to me, "Oh, pup, must you talk with everyone?" Yes, I must. I'm a preacher. I'm a conversationalist. I'm a Welshman. We were born with silver tongues in our mouths. So I come across this, the mouth. My dad was a mouthpiece. He was a criminal trial attorney. That made him a mouthpiece for the mob. The mouth of a righteous man is a well of life. For all for good reason does this verse strike me and hit home. So how am I using my speech? How am I using my conversation? Let alone my preaching and teaching and broadcasting. I live by my voice. You know, my producer Frank Canal says of himself, I have a face for radio. Well, I do too. I live by my voice, and so I want to use it well. And God has called me to use it for His purpose. Yesterday, I was having some brunch. Dennis and I needed to talk. So we ran over to Murray's on 23. If you know where Jaime's is, more famous. I think it's Lower Marion. It's beyond Ardmore, towards Narberth. Just a block up the street and across the way is Murray's. A charming little place, best omelet I've ever had. Jim and I were there just recently as well. There was a gentleman sitting behind me when I got up, or when I sat down, I saw him, and he was a very nattily dressed man. I love dress myself. I loved suits and ties and handkerchiefs and colors, and this guy was just so nattily dressed, cufflinks, beautiful scarf, and everything coordinated, and I couldn't help but address him on that. Turns out he's a trauma surgeon. Penn Medicine and New York Presbyterian. And when I mentioned the Mass General and Brigham and Women's in Boston, he says, I know those places well. I told him about my heart experience. And lovely man, for all of his nattily dressed attire, his prestigious appointments. A very humble man, and a very affable man. And said, God bless you to me when he learned I was a pastor. He lives by his mind and his hands, doesn't he? I live by my voice. The mouth of a righteous man is powerful and effective. Or the prayers of a righteous man. We read that in James. The prayers of a righteous man, though they are powerful and effective. The mouth of a righteous man is a well of life. Now, we've been going through a litany of proverbs that relate to this. And allow me, please, to run through them just briefly. In Proverbs 15, the second verse, the tongue of the wise uses knowledge aright. We're speaking of spiritual practicality. Proverbs 15:4, a wholesome tongue is a tree of life. That word wholesome, it speaks on the one hand to purity, but also, I believe, to clarity. Today, we've clear skies. The sun is not obfuscated by clouds. Oh, I love that word. There's a I don't know, it makes me feel sexy when I use it. I don't know why. There's a forgive me. There's a clarity, a spiritual clarity. 15:7, the lips of the wise disperse knowledge. Disperse. There's a spiritual enlargement. Proverbs 16, the 26th verse, we read that the words of the pure are pleasant words. They bring spiritual refreshment. From Proverbs 16:21, we read that, we begin afresh, I beg your pardon. In Proverbs 16, the 21st verse, the wise in heart shall be called prudent, and the sweetness of the lips increases learning. And I would like to accentuate the word prudent and the word increase. I think here we're speaking broadly to spiritual discernment. To be prudent, you have to be able to discern what is appropriate and what is not. For there to be increase in learning, and for that learning, when it is articulated, to be sweet. This is the language of the text of Scripture. There needs to be discernment as to what we're learning and how we're imparting it. You know, I say this with respect. The gentleman in question meant well, was of great value to us for many years here. But he became fixated on one particular doctrine. And that doctrine began to overshadow, obfuscate the person of Jesus Christ. And many of us can be prone to doing this. It could be a doctrine or a practice. You know, I just was listening on Facebook, an Orthodox, as distinct from Catholic or Evangelical, an Orthodox priest talking about why he could not pray with a Catholic believer. And I was stunned. But then again, I've been in Catholic churches with respect when I'm not allowed to receive communion. And yet I'm a man washed in the blood of Christ. you will enter some Baptist churches, and they have their reasons. I want to be careful here. Everyone has their reasons. I'm just giving you my response. But there are even some Baptist and Presbyterian churches in which if you are not a formal member, you are not allowed to take communion. I'm not so certain this is the wisest use of discernment. All right, maybe it's Brad Lacey speaking. The discernment we have to make is whether someone is a Christian or not. Everything else, I love how the Apostle Paul puts it in Colossians. He says, where there is a difference of opinion or of conviction, my language, God will reveal. But the fundament of confessing Jesus Christ, being washed in the blood, filled with the Spirit, and allowing the Word to indwell one richly, that is the criteria by which we receive one another. Obviously, there are do's and don'ts on one level. But what I'm getting at, please, is that we have to be discerning in the Spirit of God as to what is and is not appropriate. We can't simply settle for our set theologies and our set ecclesiologies. They are important. No one is minimizing. But the Spirit of God defies. When we all get to heaven, Brother Tyler and I used to talk about this. We're all going to discover that in some meaningful way, shape, or form, we were wrong. There's a reason why for 300 plus years the church deliberated prayerfully and judiciously as to the exact nature of who Jesus was. There's a reason why we should never resort again to what our author... And by the way, this is not an anti-orthodox sermon. I embrace our orthodox brethren. I'm just getting at a couple of particulars. All right? But back in the 18th century, when our orthodox brethren would cross themselves, if they use two fingers or three fingers, you know how many powers? A lot of shit. Oh, thank you very much, Bethany. Bethany set the example here. Thank you so much. Reeve, beam like a Christmas tree. Your wife has done her job. How much blood was shed and how many people were killed over that? What does the proverb say? The wise in heart shall be called prudent. We will check ourselves. We will stand on our doctrine, but we will check our motivations. Maybe that's the best way of putting it. We can use sound doctrine the wrong way. We can use the Word of God as a hammer. Now, it is a hammer. The Spirit of God will hammer away at our sin by way of the Word. But if we use it as a hammer to hurt people, to prove our point... Great C.S. Lewis wrote a magnificent poem, small too. We don't realize Lewis was a poet, as he was a literary critic and a novelist and an apologist for the faith. He was also a poet, wrote some lovely poetry. And in one poem called The Apologist's Prayer, by apologist, one who defends the faith, he apologized to God. He asked God for his forgiveness because he took too much pleasure in proving his debating opponent wrong. All right? We can use the Word for our own motivations. We have to step back and with discernment reckon with what we're doing and why. So here we read in Proverbs, "The wise in heart shall be called prudent, and the sweetness of the lips increases learning." By learning, we're not meaning simply book knowledge. You know, I've been going through my book. I have a huge library next door, all levels, downstairs here in the church. Huge personal library. What's mine is yours. You're welcome to borrow anything you want. Just let me know and bring it. Bring it back when you're done. If you're done in a year, bring it back in a year. Okay, that's all we ask. But we're not talking simply book learning. Right, the Christian is a disciple of Jesus Christ. We're continuously learning of and from and for Christ. So our motivation must always be Christ-oriented. What will bring honor and glory to Christ? That's what is at issue. And I love the imagery, the sweetness of the lips. You know, the Bible is not a prudish document. We're the prudes, if we are. The Song of Solomon uses sensuous and sexual imagery to describe the relationship between a man and his wife, between God's people and God. Jonathan Edwards, the great neo-Puritan divine out of New England, I love the language that he used in one of his beautiful, it was a testimony. And he talked about, and I love this, how the beauty of Christ was ravishing to his souls. You know, I don't know what it is about snowfalls, but I tend to think somewhat poetically. I'm not a first-rate poet. I'm at best a fourth or fifth rate, but that still makes me a poet. And when I see the snowfall, it has an amorous quality to me. There's a sensuousness to it in a very pure way. And I've built that into a poem I've written. So here we speak of even a man's lips, the sweetness of the lips. This is sensuous imagery. The sweetness of the lips increases learning. That's what I endeavor as a preacher, as a teacher, as a broadcaster. As a conversationalist, I want the sweetness of my lips. And that can entail a wide, broad expanse of how one defines sweetness. The way you speak to someone working on the docks is not the way you're going to speak to the trauma surgeon sitting behind you at the diner, okay? Again, discernment as to how to communicate. I was told when I went to seminary, don't be afraid to use the big words, but always be prepared to define them. You have to be discerning as to whether a word is going to be understood or not. Sometimes I think it's readily understood and it isn't, and I hear about it later, but always sweetly, okay. But I live for the day when all of you feel sexy using the word obfuscate, just like I do. I live for that day. But I live for a great... I hope that isn't offensive. It's meant humorously. Doris is laughing. If Doris is laughing, it's okay. I'm not the typical Baptist preacher. I think you've learned that by now. But my greatest desire, by the use of my lips, is that God's people grow and ripen and deepen and blossom and bud and bloom in the love and truth and by the Spirit of Jesus Christ. So we're speaking of spiritual discernment. I need to discern what it is we all need every Sunday morning. I'm sure that Chris and Dennis share that sentiment. Now, please, from Proverbs 18, verse 4. The words of a man's mouth are as deep waters, and the wellspring of wisdom as a flowing brook. The words of a man's mouth are as deep waters, and the wellspring of wisdom as a flowing brook. I have a friend, and I'll mention him by name. Some of you have met him. I mentioned him by name because I'm speaking sweetly and affirmatively of the gent. Lieutenant Colonel Dominic Clemente, 82nd Airborne Artillery, innumerable tours of duty in Iraq and Afghanistan and Kuwait, and even the demilitarized zone in Korea. Dom is an interesting character. He's a Bostonian. Interesting, very deep. You ask him, Dom, what time is it? And you won't get an answer for an hour. Do you know why? Because he goes deep to find the answer. He goes down deep. And my friend John Meduno, some of you knew him, we would roar with laughter with Dom over this. Dom just went so deep, he couldn't answer right away. He had to probe the depths, even for something as simple as what time is it? I knew this when he was a boy, the depth of his powers of intellection. A smart guy. He goes deep. And the Christian is meant to go deep in the waters of the gospel. We're to go deep into the presence of God. We're to go deep in our Christian life and experience. We're to plunge the depths of the Word of God. And then it says, and the wellspring of wisdom as a flowing brook. So we go deep on the one hand, like a deep reservoir or well. But those waters flow out and flow forth and go far. This little church reaches vast expanses. I'm always amazed when I think about this. We're a tiny little church. Almost like we're on a leash, like I am bound to this microphone now. I'm dying to go over there. Dying. And I can't. I'm bound to this microphone. Well, little churches can oftentimes be bound to their past or to themselves or to their anxieties and insecurities. But this little church somehow goes deep, praise God, and somehow goes wide. Now, I watched the ball game last night. I wanted to see Green Bay win. I'm not losing any sleep, they didn't. But, you know, I mean, they had the edge for me. And 1 minute to go, and the quarterback has the ball. They're down by three. The first San Fran has him on the run. He's running backwards instead of forwards. He's running towards the end, the sideline, and he decides to throw across field. The minute that ball left his hands, I knew it was disaster. Well, it was an interception. Even I knew that. Right, he was going too wide and too far for his benefit. But you and I, conversely, we're called to go wide and far for the benefit of many, for the benefit of the advancement and the increase of the kingdom of God. The Bible says in the book of Acts, there was great, Acts 8, great joy in that city for the increase of the word of God. The word went far. And from this little church, and I remember years ago, I'm not taking credit for it, it was how I was led to pray. But for years, and still to this day, I always pray that the word of God will always go forth from this pulpit and from this place. And God has honored that prayer. This little church is used to take the word of God far and wide. We go into 38 states and Canada. We go all throughout the vast metropolis of the city of brotherly love. It's extraordinary. We've reached how many time zones in Africa and Russia and India, literally, and without exaggerative use of my words. Spiritual depth and expanse or overflow. Wherever the gospel is, there is overflow. That's not true of any other religion or any other culture. They are all self-contained. With respect. Tell me of one Buddhistic culture that reaches across the world to help victims of floods and earthquakes. You'll never hear of one. Those you hear of are either agencies or ministries that emanate from the West, inculcations of the ethic, in the very least, of the gospel of Jesus Christ, or from Israel, which adheres to an Old Testament ethic of compassion and mercy. You don't hear of it from anybody else. And even if the Red Cross is now denuded of its Christianity, even though it still has the Red Cross, the Red Cross is in its origins Christian, as is AA, Christian in its origins. The fundamentals of the AA movement are Christian, not secular. It is always the gospel of Jesus Christ, the overflow. That's why, to be honest with you folks, I love everything about Christmas. We're celebrating the birth of Christ, and there's all kinds of wonderful overflow. That's why I encourage you, when you step outside those doors and somebody walks by, smile. Okay? And if you're really good that morning, say good morning with a smile. And if you really want to go deep, okay? And you don't want to throw that pass cross field to be intercepted. You want to score a touchdown and win the game. You talk to them. Because believe me, you're their first and last impression of this church and of what this church stands for, whether you like it or not. And by the way, when I say whether you like it or not, I need not say or not, because it is implicit within the word whether. Whether you like it. I love your wife. This guy, you're right on the money, Bethany. Right on the money. All right. One more. From Proverbs 20, the 15th verse. There is gold and a multitude of rubies, but the lips of knowledge are a precious jewel. There is gold and a multitude of rubies, but the lips of knowledge are a precious jewel. We're speaking now of spiritual treasure. Spiritual treasure. When I was in a secondhand bookshop in Boston 40 years ago, Newbury Street, which is part and parcel of the Back Bay of Boston, very elegant territory. The Victor Hugo Avenue Bookshop, it was one of my favorites. Long gone now, it's up in New Hampshire. And I came across this book that was parlayed into a British television film called An Innkeeper's Diary. And it featured a renowned British actor by the name of Robert Hardy. If you know that world, he's a household name. If you don't, he's not. And it was a fine film. And here's the copy of the book on the shelf for like $2.50. I mean, it was a bargain. Wonderful. I bought it. And I took it home. And when I got home, I sat down and I opened it up. And guess what? It was inscribed by the author, who was the innkeeper himself. That should have upped the ante of the price considerably. My find, my treasure. I'll never forget it. I told Lieutenant Colonel Clementi, he drooled with envy. Literally was coming down his chin. You can look but not touch, Dom. Well, let me tell you something. When I met that trauma surgeon, it was no meaningful opportunity to speak the gospel in any concrete way. But I wanted him to know with whom and for whom I stood. Because he was pleased to meet me. Well, I wanted him to meet Jesus in as possible a way as I could. And it was obvious he got it. And he seemed pleased, praise God. Not enough, I understand. But this is my point. If I found that spirit, that bibliographic treasure on that shelf at the back of the bookshop in the Back Bay of Boston 40 years ago, somebody comes across us, and we're meant to be for them spiritual treasure. And what we have to say, folks, I talk politics and sports like anybody else. I talk movies and books. All right, that's about my range. Everything else is lost on me. I'll talk all of that. But if that's all anybody walks away from me, oh, he loves to read. Oh, he loves old movies. Oh, he's a Republican or a Democrat. It's not enough. It's just, those are entry points of conversation. But when push comes to shove, whatever your system is, whatever your way of going about it is, in some meaningful way, Lord, how can I be used of you to make known Jesus Christ to those around me? I have a habit of conversing with waiters and waitresses, putting the word of God in their hands, asking them if I can pray with them. John Price, who can't be here today due to a kidney stone affliction, he goes for the jugular. I'm not that good. I mean, he literally goes for the jugular like an attack dog. He does it sweetly and lovingly. However you're wired, how are you spiritual treasure to those who are spiritually impoverished? I love how Paul puts it in 2 Corinthians. It's beautiful imagery. As some scripture is very sensuous in its imagery, this is very literary. Paul says in 2 Corinthians that you and I are a letter from God. And that letter has been drafted not with pen and ink, but by the blood of Christ. And you become like that book on the shelf found by me. You are to be spiritual treasure to those around you. What does it say up here? You are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession. You were called out of darkness and into His wonderful light. Why? So that you may declare the mercy of God Himself to those in need of mercy. So, we're still in January. We're still within the orbit of New Year's Day. And, you know, Chris gave a wonderful message on the 31st about resolutions. Have you kept yours, Chris, 3 weeks later? Praise God. Praise God. Well, let's make a resolution and ask God by His Spirit to help us keep it. The resolution is this, and I'll need a motion and a second and a vote, okay? No, I won't. The resolution is this. I will, by God's grace, endeavor to be, that maintains humility on the one, but intentionality on the other. I will endeavor to be spiritual treasure in the interests of Christ to those around me. Praise God. Praise God. That's what I have for you today. Do I have a motion to close this sermon? Carol? Yeah, okay. You should never have motioned because I want to go on. No, I'm joking. Bonnie, you're not a member of the incorporated body, but you are a member of the family, and the sermon applies to one and all. So will you second the closing of this sermon?
I second.
All in favor?
Aye.
No, you should have said no. Keep going. Keep going. Pray with me, please. Gracious Father, we plead the mercy and the blood of our Savior. Hallelujah. Bless this body, bless this people, bless these brothers and sisters. And Lord, that we might be a blessing to you and to the glory of your name on the one, to one another as well, but also to those at large. That they may know Christ, who He is, what He is about, and that He loves and wants them through us. Grant, gracious God, and that we might be a people of spiritual discernment, of spiritual depth and expanse, of overflow, that we might be spiritual treasures, even as we are your precious and beloved children. This is our prayer and plea this day. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
And amen. Praise God. Thank you so very much.